I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you now? It is the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I am James Whelan, Managing Director of Barclay Pearce Capital's Asset Management Division. I am joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very well, thanks, James. I hope you're well and all our listeners are out there are very well as well. A lot of wells there.
Yeah.
How you been? What you been up to?
Mate, also just a note, we are sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Thank you for all the help that they have given. And any of the advice that you hear in this is general in nature. And anything that sounds like advice, it probably isn't either. Now, first off, let's start. Mate, it's all professional now. I'm doing it. I'm also wearing a tie for our YouTube listeners. I got to get a zoom in on that. Look at that. That's the authentic Pierre Cardon. Logo.
Oh, beautiful. Wow. This type very fancy.
Belonged to my grandfather. I'm wearing it today. Mm. Oaks Day is on today, the end of the Spring Carnival. It is 10:36 on the 9th of the 11th, 2023 AD. Now, one of the exercises, because I'm always about self-improvement, Heath, always about self-improvement, making myself better, a better person, better manager, better advisor, better everything, better husband, better dad, better coffee drinker. See, working well. That I realized that I may not be as savvy with some of the intricacies of football because we've got a big sort of a big alignment with the sporting world here at Barclay Pearce, that I may not be as I may not be as savvy with some of the intricacies of the football world. So I understand NRL and that's fantastic, but and I understand the players and I know the big players and I know what they're doing. But then sometimes for that next level down, I don't exactly know some of the other players that are in there or sort of what they do or where the positions are that they play. So pick it up between one of the two. I'm doing a little exercise of personal improvement and education here just so that I can keep up with some of the conversations. So pick it up between one and three.
Two.
Pick it up between one and three. It's not difficult.
What? Two.
Two?
Yeah.
All right. So this is the idea. You have chosen Dane Laurie, what are the odds? He plays for the West Tigers, which is one of our key alignments that we sponsor there. He is so this is what I'm doing. I'm just learning it. Okay, he's a fullback. He's 83 kilos. His junior club was Lower Clarence Magpies, and his debut was in round 13, 2020. Seems like a great guy. And that's sort of, okay, so now I know. Now I know that that's him. That's what he looks like. Moving on. See? And you just learn a little bit every day and just make yourself a little bit better for these sorts of conversations. That's it.
Yeah. I suppose, actually, growing up, obviously, I was a massive NBA card collector. And I suppose that's how I learned a lot of my gear as well. You know, you collect all these cards, these thousands of cards. And, you know, as a kid, you sat there and looked at them for hours and hours.
It just sticks. Exactly the process. Mm. That's exactly what I'm doing here. Just to go, you know what? Because I know the game and I know the players, but then I just need to go further and better into it. And that's how you just got to do flashcards, and that's exactly what the trading card system is all about. So that's that. I'll trade you a Jack Bird. There you go. I'll trade you a. Let me know what you want a Jack Bird traded for, and then we'll come back into it. Okay.
I'm going to check my Beckett. You remember the Beckett magazine that you see every month?
Yeah, the Beckett magazine. I don't know
what
value you're giving the second rower from the Dragons. I'm not entirely sure what sort of number you put on that, but it's a big one. This is worth a lot of money. Yeah. Okay. What have you been up to, mate?
I've been actually really, really busy. We went to the I was in the city on Saturday morning at around 3:30 a.m., grabbing a spot for the Adelaide Christmas pageant. So we had that on Saturday morning. Kids loved it. It was fantastic. Great day out. Apart from that, had our daughter's birthday last Friday. More celebrations this week for that. Yeah, that's it. It's just general school stuff. You know how it goes, you know, got the little ones, you know, everything rolls around them and to get them organized and happy and stuff. So yeah. Yeah. But been busy. So it's been good.
Okay, good. Again, continue to be amazingly proud of the two girls that I have, and what they are doing athletically and everything they've got. Their scores, their ballet scores came back, and I'm just going to say they were both extraordinarily good scores.
Fantastic.
Just the little achievements that they just have of just being not even, oh, that's really good for you, sort of that sort of thing, which is great. Improve yourself personally, but we're talking like elite levels for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of what they're doing, which is great.
Fantastic.
They'll just continue to impress you. And it's the thing, as long as you still enjoy it and as long as you still, everything just maintains, don't ever feel any pressure about these sort of things. And even I'm learning as a dad, let's have a bit of a dad conversation if we can, that there's also now there's such a big onus on, did you have fun? Are you having fun? Are you enjoying it? It's just like, you know what? It's not even always about having fun. There shouldn't be an onus on having fun either. It should just be if you're getting something out of it, then that is as much of an achievement. There's too much of a thing of having fun, and then kids feel like they have to pretend like they're having fun or that is fun. Otherwise, you don't feel like mum's failed at putting me into this exercise because I'm not having fun. I'm not enjoying it. So now I've got to fake this fun through it, and then you don't really know what sort of relationship you've got coming out there. So now it's really just about if you're getting out something and putting into it what you feel that you are, then that is the exercise done, and that is the achievement in life.
This week both my boys went up another level in their reading levels, we were extremely extremely proud of, and you could just see the admiration they had for themselves on their faces, and you know how proud they were of themselves coming home and telling us that. I mean, you know, mum did the pickup, so she got to find out first, and then you know they both ran in the door and told me, and it's just fantastic, just little wins like that. And I mean, I don't know if they have fun reading or not. Oh, actually, I know the oldest does. He loves reading, but yeah, they got something out of it, and they're immensely proud of themselves. And it's fantastic to see. And we're obviously immensely proud of them. So yeah.
Well done. Now, what have we got
markets.
In the markets?
Markets.
Market Wrap with Heath Moss, HLM Investments.
Push the buttons.
Push the buttons. I was so good last week as well.
You were on.
It looks
the board,
like we got ourselves a little bit of resistance.
You got a bit of a resistance there. Look, I mean, it's compared to last week, it's been a fairly dull week in terms of the markets and even macro news, etc. You get the S&P 500 up about 0.6% so far this week. NASDAQ up 1.4%. That's after they're up 6% last week. It's a phenomenal rally, the biggest rally of the year so far the week. But basically, yeah, I think they're on an 8-day winning streak, both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. So they're looking very good there, but
if this morning was up, which I think it was, just eked out a little gain, didn't it?
Yeah, they did. Yep. They both eked out.
Nine for NASDAQ, 8 for the S&P, correct?
Beautiful. Fantastic. They're looking, I think they're looking a little bit exhausted here. And the way I categorize this rally is more of a relief rally. We sort of had soft macro data come in last week, the Fed decision and the speech. So the markets had an overwhelming sense, okay, the Fed is done. Rates are done being hiked, and this is all we're going to get. And we've seen and I'll bring up the chart for the 10-year yield. You've seen that come down from 5% down to about 4.5% where it is now. So
yep.
I think that this is more about a relief rally. But obviously, we've got to find out what happens next, what comes out on the other side. And I think that's where a little bit of nastiness creeps in, because if the economy is starting to slow and slow significantly, then, you know, earnings are going to deteriorate. And we've already started to see, I think in the first month of October, we saw earnings revisions for Q4, so the current quarter we're in, downgraded by analysts at the fastest rate since 2020. I think they've downgraded them by about 3.9% or something along those lines. So we're starting to see those analysts say, all right, well, things are deteriorating in the economy, so that's going to translate to earnings. And I think that's why this rally isn't sustainable. It's more about those yields and saying, yay, we can bring these lower yields, or we can cap the yields in our discounted cash flow models, et cetera, et cetera. And that's great. That's fantastic. But the earnings side of things for 2024, I think, are looking a little bit dire. Well, not dire, but worse than they anticipated. I think they're about, they're expecting about 10% in earnings growth in 2024 for the S&P 500, which I feel is way too high. And like I've said for a while, I think in the first half next year is when we start to see a US recession begin. And obviously we don't get confirmation of that until much later. But yeah, that's where I'm seeing ourselves at the moment. Quickly have a look at the XJO. We sort of traded, and that candle you can see there from today, we've looked a little bit better, maybe coming out of a downtrend there. It's too early for confirmation. But again, we've seen some pretty good movement here following the US. Our 10-year yields, I'll bring them up as well. Our 10-year yields.
I was actually just trying to find, while you're at it, I was just trying to find what the Treasury got their 10 years away at, and I had the number. They got $40 billion of 10 years, and I think that they got it away at, I want to feel it was 454.
Really?
But okay. I had the number, and now I've lost the number, and I can't get it, and I'm okay. Too afraid to ask Marty Wetton, because then I get a lecture about how I'm supposed to know this stuff. Every time. Seriously, I had the number written, and now it's gone. I don't have my Bloomberg up.
No
so,
worries.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't think any of the listeners are going to really bring you up on that. But you can see the Australian.
Just to go on about that, we were talking about how the new, all of the new stuff that was coming on from Treasury was taking people away. So that the idea of that being, and I do know that number that they got away at, the auction price that they got away at, was technically lower.
Yeah.
Than where the 10-year was trading. So it's interesting to take that in as you want. As you know, lower yields means higher bond pricing. They do work that way. We're legally obliged to say that. Sorry, I'll stop getting in the way of your little rap, mate. Go on.
Okay, that's fine. It all counts. It's all important.
Yeah.
So that's the Aussie 10-year we've got up there. You can see, again, down from about 5% to about 4.5% mark here in Australia. Even though the RBA lifted rates this week by 25 basis points, it was a dovish hike. They walked back some of their hawkishness from the last statement. And it really, I mean, to me, it's null and void. It's going to target the wrong people and hurt the wrong people. And it's actually probably, you know,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Meant that because the statement that accompanied it was so dovish, that they may have to go again. Because, you know, if they kept it really hawkish, then yields probably stayed up and the market starts doing a lot of the work for them. But because you can see their yields have come right down. And I know they're following the US a little bit, but part of that would be their RBA dovishness, where we saw the US, the Australian dollar come off against the US as well. I think, you know, because of that commentary, they're going to have to go again. So if that's the stance they're going to take, but like I've said, I expect Australia's slowing significantly, and we've already seen that in the data, and we didn't need this hike by the RBA, but that's a whole different story. So. That's about it. We really got nothing in the macro side of things this week in terms of news. Oh, sorry. Actually, I'll talk about that a little bit after when we talk about oil. I've got
I hosted a podcast for Ensemble because they get me to host their advisor series podcast. I'm the voice of the advisor, apparently. So thank you for all of your support. And it's an honor. Anyway, Jody Fitzgerald on there. So she's Morningstar's head of institutional allocation, I think it was, but I had that up in front of me a second ago. Again, but anyway, so she's just resigned from Morningstar amazingly. This is just a bit of scam, bit of gossip news. She's resigned from Morningstar. It's all good. It's all for sale. They've still got her out there. Everything's fantastic. But she's starting with Australian Retirement Trusts. You love this position. Newly created role, head of portfolio resilience.
Resilience.
I'll get into that in a second. But anyway, so she did mention in this podcast, and please listen to that podcast when it does come out in a few, probably months' time, that we're still at the RBA, that she said it was the disconnect, or so there was a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not incongruity with the way that they gave that message, that if they're going to hike hard and say we're still going hard. She said it's going to be this really indecisive market of they've hiked, but then they're going to look at the data, so that seems a bit weak, you know, because potentially it could be off. And she said it's going to be really wishy-washy, just what you just said. So it's good to have the endorsement of quite a high.
Yeah, exactly. Someone much smarter than myself.
in other news, mm-hmm. The Australian Retirement Trust is putting their portfolio resilience role. Now, that being with the fact that ART, I mean, growth by acquisition, but also growth just through natural acquirement, is going to be, she said, $500 billion. So it's going to go from 250. Yeah, it's going to go from, I think it's 250 now, to go up to about 500, I think, is where they're sort of ballparking it. This isn't confidential stuff either. That's general estimations. But so she said there's going to be staff that we physically will need to be able to make sure that we're on top of. So it's more than just position risking. It's like everything risking and correlation, everything that goes to it, just from basically from the size that they're going to be having in front of them, which is a phenomenal thing. ART just goes from strength to strength. Brian's a good guy. I don't think he listens to us, but if he is, Brian, mate, you're all right. What else you got?
Should we look at oil?
Oil? I was going to just follow up with what you said. Hang on a second. I'm going to switch up.
Go for it.
Bearish bets backfire amid the everything rallies. This is a few days ago this happened. You're talking about just sort of the market springing up and what it was springing up.
Yeah.
Traders betting on equity declines suffer losses as the most shorted stocks rally. The short squeeze has been crazy. I've got a chart here showing that.
Sure has.
That first week in November was that spring. The basket of the most shorted stocks had the highest rally since January last year.
12.5% there?
Yeah.
Roughly?
No, January. Yeah. January this year. Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty significant. Don't be on the wrong side of it, because the market always goes up. Anyway, okay, back to you. Sorry.
We'll check out oil. Now, there we go. So that's WTI. One of my trend lines not coming in. Don't know why. But WTI, there we go.
Nice.
Coming right off. Really, really softening there. We saw that rally on the back of a bit of bullishness around the US economy. Then we had the Israel conflict and just, high demand for oil. But things have really turned around there now, and we're seeing quite weak demand for oil from all parts of the globe. We're seeing the EU is expected to be in recession by the end of this year now. China is really soft and drawing down from their own stockpiles anyway. Flights and holidays and travels, etc., have not recovered to levels pre-COVID fully yet. So that's why the demand there is seen as a bit soft. The US, now I've got to get these stats right. There was a really good stat that came out from the US Energy Information Administration. They said in 2024, they expect the Americans will each consume 402 gallons of fuel next year. So that would be the lowest in two decades and 15% below the levels in 2004. So we're seeing a US economy become very, very soft. And obviously you get a substitution effect here too, because obviously there's a lot, we rely more on wind and solar and all those sorts of things now. Electric vehicles may be having a impact as well on that demand, especially on the fuel side, given I think they've got about a 7 or 8% penetration rate now in the US. So it was just thought that was really interesting, and it sort of backs up this softish notion on oil and where it's headed And I'll bring up Brent. Brent's the same. First time it's been below 80 since July, I think that is.
Colossal candles there.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole, you know, a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago, the whole scenario was, you know, oil was hitting $100 again. It's going much higher, inflation, yada, yada, yada. But it's turned right around. And I said a while ago, and at the time I said I didn't expect that to be the case. Demand is looking too soft. There is an energy glut. Even in the US, EU, the gas futures have come right off again because warmer weather, and they've got plenty of inventory. So looking quite weak there for energy. Yeah, looking quite weak there for energy.
Well, I'll put my hand up and say I definitely called that around the wrong way. I think that long term I'm still very bullish oil.
I agree. But yes.
Hey, that's a cut. That's a cut there on that one. If I was still involved in the intricacies and the day to day sort of bits and pieces like that, as opposed to trying to run an asset management team, which sort of takes me away from the day to day of this sort of thing. There was something else that I was going to put up on my little thing, and then we get into the footy, and then we'll get the heck out of here. November. November's great. And I love this. This is from the big list of very confusing things I put up here. This is Ryan Dedrick, CMT, who is over at Carson. Midterm elections were a year ago. Stocks have never been lower a year later. We noted this, but many told us about yield curves, LEIs, inflation, quad four, whatever that is, and more. That's a quad witching sort of whatever it is that everyone got freaked out about. A year later, the S&P 500 is up 14.1%, exactly the average return since World War II. The S&P performance 1 year after the midterm elections is on average up 14.1% after 12 months later. Happens again. It's the average. It is there. Yep. Do not listen to the nonsense that you hear all the time. Markets usually go up, especially when they are down. Now, over to the football. I finally managed
quickly before footy, I think we need to cover the Aussie banks. They've covered them quickly. Do you want to chuck the screen back up again? I've just got Macquarie's chart up there. So we've had Macquarie, Westpac, and NAB all report their earnings. Macquarie's were their first half. They were down 49%, and they missed consensus by a considerable amount, about 15-20% miss. Now, that was basically on the back of higher taxes and higher costs. Basically, it's been categorized as a hangover from extremely good years of 2020 through to 2022, where markets were volatile, lots of trading, lots of merger and acquisition activity, yada, yada, yada. So that's where they are seeing it. It's categorized as a hangover, and they expect it to be very short-lived and then earnings to grow again next year and into 2024. So whilst it was a pretty soft report. They also announced, a $2 billion buyback, which helped. So I like Macquarie down here. I think I'll back management in and see their earnings growth again. And quickly, we'll have a look at Westpac. I won't worry about NAB because they came out this morning. I haven't looked at them properly yet. But I had a big lift in earnings. I think it was about 26%, increased dividends as well. Another buyback as well. I think theirs was $1.5 billion. So there's a theme here with all of the banks, and NAB have their buyback as well. You know, it got a lot of excess capital on the sheets. The positive thing is also we're seeing 90-day arrears. Whilst they're lifting, they're not coming up anywhere near pre-COVID highs or even COVID highs when we had the, you know, the lock-ins, etc. So we're not seeing too much stress on the balance sheet yet of the Aussie banks. We've still got about half of the rollovers from the fixed mortgages to come. But overall, they're looking solid. But again, I can't really get excited about the Australian banks outside of Macquarie and maybe CBA in this current environment where loan growth is quite benign. And you do have those headwinds moving forward of that rollover while the rates are high. So that's the Aussie banks.
Well done. That was the Aussie bank report. All right. Quick footy tips to go. I've got Dank, my boy Dank Trader 4000 has come back.
Beautiful.
He's back after the, he thought that we were recording on the Friday instead of the Thursday or whatever. So that's it. Mate, he's gone some pretty rough ones this week. He's got one suggestion. Green Bay, 1-13. I hate the 1-13. It's Green Bay 1-13 at Pittsburgh against the Steelers. It's $3. It's paying what it was when he sent it. I haven't checked the odds. That's the lock of the week after he managed to get a whole bunch. What have you got?
I've got the other side of that. I've got my bet of the week is Steelers to cover the line at -3.5 at home versus the Backers.
Well, mate, we've got ourselves a bet there, cheeky boy.
Yeah, we do. It's on Dank. We'll it's on Dank go. Trader.
Yeah, so we'll see how it is. That is rough as guts on that one. Is that tomorrow or is that just sometime over the weekend?
I don't know. I don't think it's tomorrow, no.
Okay. Look, that's been the podcast for us. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is James Whelan, Barclay Pierce Capital Asset Management, and I have been joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Thanks, Heath.
Thanks, mate, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Stay safe. Mark well.